He is my peace, who has broken down every wall. He is my peace. He is my peace.
Whatever you have need of tonight, amen. If it's in the Word of God, it's a promise here, amen.
And I am the God that healeth thee. I am the God, your healer. And I send my word, and I healed your disease.
You're my Savior.
Saints. Amen. Amen. He's worthy. Amen. And we just have one announcement. We will be having a men's or sisters work night on Friday night at 6 o'clock for all those who would want to come. Amen. You're all welcome. Amen. But we just have two testimonies here. Praise God. Amen. For testimonies, no prayer requests, but amen. Praise God for that. Our God gives testimonies. Amen. One from Sister Jody Delaney that says, I'd like to thank the Lord for His protection on Monday, coming home from Defiance. I hit a deer on the side of the road and had a little damage to Ashley's car. Glory to God, amen. Give God a round of applause for that, amen. Amen. Surely somebody could have been hurt or could have done worse damage, but God protects, amen. We also have a testimony here from Sister Julia. It says, the other night, Elisha hit his head very hard on the corner post of a doorway. I just started calling on the name of Jesus, and within minutes, he hardly had a bump on his head. Normally, they will have a bump on their head for days. When he woke up the next morning, he could hardly see anything. Praise God for that. Amen. 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 Just going to ask Brother Simon if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. Also for the tithes and the offerings.
Watching over us, Lord, as we go here to and fro, God, and doing things, Lord, and Lord Jesus, accidents, God, Lord, you're always right there in the midst, God, Lord, to calm things down, God, to make things better, God, and you'll see us all the way through, God, we thank you for it, Lord, and Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for gathering us, Lord, together tonight again, Lord Jesus, to feast on your word,
yes,
God, Lord, we pray, Lord, you prepared something, Lord, and Lord, just let our pastor, God, just bring it just the way you'd have him bring it, God, Lord, help him to get beside himself, God,
amen.
Lord, and Lord, let you step right in those shoes, God, Lord, behind this
amen.
Holy, Lord, desk, God, Lord, Jesus, Lord, bless him, God, Lord, bless all the saints who are pushing their way out, Lord,
yes,
and Lord, Jesus, Lord, just, Lord, with anyone that has a prayer request, Lord, or something on their hearts, God, we just pray, Lord, that you would minister to tonight, God, Lord, and Lord, bless the tithes and offerings, Lord, be with us, Lord, and we just love you so much, Lord.
Just sing that song, amen. He brought me out of the miry clay, amen. He set my feet on a rock to stay. How many are glad for that today? My heart was distressed. My heart was distressed. Jehovah's red crown and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down. I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay.
golden day. Well, he brought me out of the miry clay. Yes, he set my feet on the rock to stand. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by his side. My steps were established, and here I abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by his grace until the crown I gain. Me. And he brought me out of the miry clay. Yes, he set my feet on the rock to stand. And he put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I'll sing of his wonderful mercy. In God, well, he brought me out.
magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. And oh, magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Well, I'm singing Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Well, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Yes, we have known what God has in store. So open up heaven and open it wide over your church and over our lives. And Holy Spirit, oh, rain down. Oh, rain. You're my comfort, Lord, my comforter. And you're my friend. Oh, how I need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain. Rain down. Lord, rain. Well, we need your power to fall. Just let your power.
Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that song. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Amen. Come hungry to the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
Who brought the Holy Ghost with him?
Amen.
Praise God, he's here. You feel him, he's here. What do you want? God, I want some holiness. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Lord, take my heart and fool me. Oh, take my mind. Transform, transform with your word, Lord. Take my will. Conform him to yours, oh Lord. Brokenness. Brokenness, brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need, oh Lord. Oh, brokenness is what you want from me. Take my life, Lord, take my life and form it. Oh, take my mind. Righteousness is what I long for. Oh, righteousness is what I need. Because you're here, Lord. Oh, righteousness. Righteousness is what you want from me. Hallelujah. Take my life and form it. Lord, take my mind. I like that, God. Oh, oh, brokenness. Brokenness is what I long for. Oh, brokenness is what I need, oh Lord. Oh, brokenness. Brokenness is what you want from me. Take my life and take my mind, Lord, transform it. Lord, take my will, conform it to yours, oh Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Got your Bibles? You can get them out. Amen. Oh, Lord, stay with us, God. We're constraining you right now, God. Stay with us, Lord. That's our desire tonight. Let's turn our Bibles, if we would, this evening to a few portions of Scripture. I'd like to go to, let's start out in Mark 12, 38. After that, we're going to go to Mark 7 and then Mark 1 after that. Amen. He's going to go to the church ages tonight, and the Holy Spirit just kind of opened this thing up to me as something else and just kind of took me over, and it's kind of good and kind of a little cutting, kind of a little all in between, but yet I pray it'll be a blessing to you this evening. Amen. I just want to let God speak. God, just have your way. Amen. So I know I've thoroughly been fed in my studying, so I just pray that you will find yourself in the likewise position. Mark 12, verse 38. And he says here, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes. Now notice first what he says. He said unto them in his doctrine. So notice, it's Jesus' doctrine. Not their doctrine. It didn't say he started in all their doctrine. He said in his doctrine.
Amen.
Amen. Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. Amen. Well, that's a pretty good start, huh, brother? Let's go to Mark 7:13. I like that word. That tastes good. Good to see everyone able to make it out tonight. What I really love about you, y'all just kind of squeeze right towards the front. I don't know if somebody told you to do that. You just naturally do that. But that sure is sweet to the Lord, I think. He just saying, hey, God, I want to be close to the front. Now, next in Mark 7:13, it says here, making the word of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Amen. Now, lastly, Mark 1:21. Notice, of course, we find beware of the scribes. Now we're finding that there's traditions that make the word of none effect. Amen. And what is our heart's desire tonight is that the word becomes in full effect. Praise God. Now, Mark 1:21, it says here, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority. We say amen. But look at how this finishes off. And not as the scribes. Interesting. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we love you tonight, God. And Lord, how we want your presence to be amongst us, God. Dwell in this place, God. But Lord, we understand, Lord, that there's, oh God, a lot of learning that we must do in the Word of God, Lord. And God, as I believe that you've just kind of opened this thing up to me, God, I pray, Lord, you just allow it to come out how you'd like it to come to your people, God. Lord, if you'd like to take me off topic, I'd be happy to go there, Lord. You just take me wherever you'd have me tonight, God. And Lord, I just ask God, as the bride has gathered tonight, Lord, it's good to see, Lord, those who press their way into the house of God, Lord. And God, how wonderful it is to see a living God, Lord. Lord, even the little feeling, oh God, just like a little stirring at the pool of Bethesda, we feel your spirit just kind of come and woo around us, God. And God, we felt it greater, God, but Lord, even these little times, God, what a wonderful time we have, Lord. It's good to know we have a real God, Lord. And Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, you'd open up the word to us, God. Forgive us if there be any sin in the room, God. And we just pray right now, God, you'd certainly go, God, open this book to us, God. Say what you'd have to say, Lord. And God, we just want to grow, Lord. We want to be deeper Christians, God. Not, so to say, intellectually, God. But Lord, we want to be deeper into you, God. Having the fullness of this word on our lives, God. We just pray, Lord, you'd certainly add your blessing to this word. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd certainly speak. We have need of thee tonight, Lord. Come amongst us in the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together. Amen. You may be seated. If we could, brother, I'd like maybe if I get some water up here when you get a chance. We'd like to maybe entitle this message this evening. It's kind of what it is. We like to entitle it Astonishing Word Authority. Praise God. And if we had a topic, we would like to entitle it, Leaving Scribe Traits. Knowing that this, in the time of Christ, was actually known as the second Exodus, this kind of adds a little emphasis to us this evening as we just want to sort of say, just bring a few things forward to you. I never quite understood this, and when I believe the Lord started opening this up to me, it just kind of really just kind of shined right in my eyes. So I just pray it'll be a blessing to you tonight. I was fully planning on going into the church ages tonight, and I opened up my Bible, and this just jumped right out at me and just started going right through. So I believe this will be a blessing to you. I don't know why God has chosen this on a Wednesday night, not a Sunday, but yet He has. So by the grace of God, if you're mature enough to stand in the Word, you're hungry enough to feed on the Word of God, certainly you'll take an interest in this type of a subject tonight, because this actually touches every one of us. Amen? So we'd like to maybe start tonight by just talking just for a moment or so, because we realize that when God ordained Israel to come forth, He ordained them, of course, with a priesthood at their head. And pretty much there was 12 tribes, but we find that God would literally allow the Levites to not be noted as one of the 12, but yet they would actually be their own priesthood amongst all the other people. And by the grace of God, we find that God, how He established Himself, it was the Levites who were actually to lead the people. Many times we find when Joshua was crossing over Jordan, the Scripture says that the Levites took the ark and they went forth. Amen? When they were going into the land, when they come to Jericho, it was actually the Levites who were, of course, leading amongst the people. They didn't need to take, so to say, swords or and go and try to take walls down. All they had to do was allow the Levites to go forth with the word. Amen? As far as the ark is concerned. And yet we find in actually going further, we find that so many times it was God's desire to have a priesthood or people leading in the Word of God. Amen? They were the leaders amongst the people. Just as we know that God never ordained a king to be seated, but yet it was the people that desired a king, right? He knew they would do it, but yet his desire was to speak to the people through a prophet. Or He would actually be able to give them His own words, amen. His own thoughts, exactly what His mind was. He would be able to illuminate that to the people. But we understand that the people wanted, so to say, a leadership of the mind of men, amen. So we bring all these thoughts, maybe to start gathering them up and throwing them on the pile together, to actually start moving towards a direction tonight, as we would like to take a look tonight at the religious system at the time of Christ. And perhaps, if we could, I'd like to just break down a little bit what the scribes were, amen. I thought in my thoughts, I said I'd like to call it the scribal traits. But I realize that scribal's not a word, it's tribal. But we understand that the scribes were very tribal in who they were. And yet, taking on that type of a characteristic, we find actually some of the greater revelations that we find in our time was locked right in this book. And they're actually being opened to us right now. Amen? And yet, if we look at the Word like that, because remember, God just come by just about 5 minutes ago when we were singing a song 10 minutes ago. And just wanted to dwell with you just to let you know that He's with you. Amen. That He loves you. That He's gonna be right there by your side. You would not be able to leave Him nor forsake Him. But wherever you go, wherever your feet would step, don't worry. Don't fear. Because He promised that He would lead and guide you. Amen. So tonight, we just want to start by looking at the Word of God a little bit and just check this out and see what the Spirit would say. We understand that as we began in the opening scriptures, we read out that God in Christ, He actually told them, He said, beware of the scribes. So you have to watch out for these individuals, okay? But now, in maybe bringing it up a little bit more, we understand that the people in Israel in Jesus Christ's day, they actually had become used to not seeing power. They had actually been used to seeing what? Maybe a priesthood, so to say, or maybe a religious system and denominations, but yet they had not seen power, right? The prophets had long ago left the scene in a major form, and they had not been able to really find the presence of God outside of a little stirring here and there. But God knew that a time would come that the Word would have to come on the scene and make the power known to the people. Amen?
Amen.
That's a good thing, because in a religious day like that, we now see it right now. And we look, we see a little stirring here and there, but yet we don't see the power that we want to see. What are you saying? You don't see the Word. You might be hearing the Word of God, you might be seeing it, but you're not watching God in action. He's sowing Word, but yet we know that God's characteristics are not limited to His Word. It's an important characteristic, but yet we understand that there's so much more of God to be revealed to the people. God wants to reveal His voice to you. God wants to reveal the damages that have been done psychologically as well as physically to your body. God wants to reveal healing to that. God wants to what? He wants to answer your prayers. God wants to be a real God. But yet, if we find ourselves out of this type of situation, we have to look no other place than the Word of God, because this type of situation lays in the Word. Praise God. So I'm kind of in a roundabout way this evening. I want to just give you exactly what we're looking at, so to say, and I pray this will be a blessing to you. I want you to notice a few things as we begin here. We find that the Word of God was not in effect. We understand why. The traditions, what we find, the dogmas, the creeds, that actually made the Word of God of none effect, almost like the reason why a revival has not struck the bride yet, because she would have to leave the creeds, the traditions, and the dogmas. Which, if that Word has been restored within the people, that should actually be speaking out. The God who was made to be known should be alive. Amen. So, it makes you begin to wonder very quickly, where is this God? We major on that, don't we? We major on that in this church because it is our full desire to see a living Jesus Christ amongst the people. This is not the Jesus Christ I want to present to God when He raptures me. Because it's not the full Christ, amen? I can release to Christ right now, if God would take a rapture, I'd take a revelation with me. I'd take an ample character that God has derived within me. But yet I'm not taking all of Jesus that I want to take. I want a God that can do things within me. I want a God that can what? It can discern the thoughts and intents. It can what? It can have a revelation. It can have what? It can have an anointing upon it where I can say I'm waiting to feel Him. And it can say, that's not a problem. Let's pray. Well, what's the difference, you say? Well, now let's go into our scriptures in Mark 1:21. I'm kind of building something here if you're not noticing. In Mark 1:21 it says here, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day He entered into the synagogue and taught. So notice we see Jesus going into the synagogue, and now He's teaching. He's actually, what? He's revealing the Word to the people. Okay? Now, notice this in the 22nd verse, and it says, they were astonished at his doctrine. They were blown away by this doctrine that he was preaching. Now, notice the reason why. It says, for he taught them as one that had authority. So notice, the people were astonished at his doctrine because he taught it with authority. Well, okay. What is authority? It is a power, a right to command or act as the authority of a prince over subjects and parents over children. Power, rule, sway. So when Christ taught, it was astonishing what he was saying, because what he was saying it like he had a power behind him. He had a sway. He had what? He had a rule about him.
Amen.
He wasn't wondering about something or leaning upon anything. He was just coming out and he was the Word.
Amen.
Pretty interesting.
Amen.
So, what astonished the people for that day was they had no living God amongst them. But when the Word come out, they actually saw power.
Amen.
Behind his preaching.
Yeah. Amen. That's right,
they seen authority there. Okay, why is this guy talking like this? He's talking like he knows what he's talking about. And he's acting like he's got some power to him.
Amen.
Now, let's read on a little bit here. The 23rd verse, it says, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. So notice, here we see a man preaching with authority. And when the authority of the Word comes forth, it makes demons tremble. This is in the synagogue, and we find all it took for Jesus to do was go in there and teach. And the teaching of the Word so made the demons tremble that they began to cry out. But what was it? Even the people seen there was an authority behind that Word. There was a faith that was moving on that Word.
They
seen something that wasn't fake. Let's notice this. So Jesus did not have to call for a prayer line. He didn't have to make an altar call because the demons just started crying out, you must be here to destroy us. What kind of house of God could we have if the Word come into the temple? If we had an authority, it's not just a preacher anymore. You are the Word. I am the Word. Because you are carriers of the seed. But yes, you have the Holy Ghost itself. So where are you lacking? Where's your authority? Let's continue. 25th verse, and it says, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What is this? What's going on here? What new doctrine is this? Wait a minute. There's a doctrine that can produce this. For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. We're not too much interested with that because we're not really fame type people. But notice what this is saying. It's saying what? He did not just have the authority to teach the word. But he had the authority over Satan's kingdom. So, what thing is this? The church members had been dead for a long time, hundreds of years. Had not seen any moving in the temple. And all of a sudden this man comes in here and starts teaching and the devils start crying out. And he just rebukes them and they leave. Interesting. This is what the word is supposed to be like? Yes. This is what the word is supposed to be like. If only Jesus was here now. If only Brother Cam would take a seat in the pews out there and just let Jesus come and preach. He said, it's expedient that I go away. Except I go away, the Comforter can't come upon you, right? He said it would be better if he left because the Holy Ghost could be with you. It's better that you could have the Holy Ghost as a body. Very beneficial. Oh, I'd love to have Jesus here. He's here. Amen. He is here.
Amen. Right.
You felt him 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago. Where'd he go? He's still here.
Amen.
But now he wants to see if you'll get excited about the reason why he's here.
Amen. That's right.
So notice the people of the hour, the message people, they're saying, what kind of doctrine is this? This ain't the type of doctrine that we preach. Don't they realize that that's over with? We've seen everything to the bride. This is the way it's supposed to end. And the word comes out. Doesn't really pay him a mind. Says, go in peace, devil. Or have thy peace, leave, devil. It's just what the word does. This is the characteristic of the word. So now, let's notice the difference here. In the 22nd verse, he said, they're astonished at his doctrine. He said, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. So wait a minute. What and who are these scribes? Before this, I never really studied, and I said, I know what a scribe is. It's someone who writes. Well, this is pretty interesting when you begin to look at it. And you begin to see actually what's right in front of our face. Because we find out that the scribes, by definition, in the Schofield, it was a learned man in the Mosaic law and in sacred writings. An interpreter, a teacher, a scribe. So scribes examine the more difficult and subtle questions of the law. So they were the theological minded people. Notice, added to the Mosaic law, decisions of various kinds thought to elucidate its meaning and scope. So they're adding meaning to things, trying to make sense out of things. And it says, and did this to the detriment of religion, since the advice of men skilled in the law was needed in the examination in the causes and the solution of the difficult questions. So the scribes actually come forth because people wanted to get deep. God opened this to me. I'm sorry. They were enrolled in the Sanhedrin and are mentioned in connection with the priests and elders of the people. Amen. This is Schofield. Now, I want to add a little more emphasis to this because we understand scripturally that we find that the scribes actually, when they spoke, they did not have authority. So I want to look a little bit more into these scribes, and I'll probably spend another 10, maybe 15 minutes on doing this, just to give you a scope of what the commentators and what the dictionaries and they say about this type of a character in which he was. Amen? Now, I want to start out and read a little bit from Easton's Illustrated Dictionary. It says, anciently, scribes held various important offices in the public affairs of the nation. Now, this is going to become very powerful because you'll see the evolution of the scribe, okay? It says, the Hebrew word surrendered sofer is first used to designate a holder of some military office. So the word scribe actually, it indicates some sort of a military power or a power source, okay? And it says, but it also means a pen of the writer, a marshal's staff. Said the scribes acted as secretaries of state. Ooh, this is getting weird already. Can you imagine John Kerry's walking around you? Poor Benjamin Netanyahu. Mercy. So the secretary of states were actually the high elevated people within the system. Now notice this. It says, whose business it was to prepare and issue decrees in the name of the king. Now this is the purpose of a scribe. That they actually want, they issued decrees, they made sense. They prepared speeches and decrees for kings. They actually, what? They were kind of a head behind the head. I've known people I've worked with, they're really smart people. One guy's name was Ed. They called him Ed the Head. Because he's a smart guy. It's kind of the same thing. Just smart people. But notice their first use was to actually stand behind the king and make decrees and do these type of things. Now notice it says, and there's several scriptures there, as you can see, says they discharged various other important public duties as men of high authority and influence in the affairs of the state. So then Israel, there they were, influencing. Lobbyists, so to say. And what? And they actually were smart people. So they kind of controlled in a way behind the scenes. They weren't the king, but they kind of were a little neck to that king's heads turning. Now, let's continue on. I want to jump down in a little, just to the place where it says in later times. This is where we see a little evolution coming into the matter. It says in later times after the captivity, when the nation lost its independence, the scribes turned their attention to the law. Amen. So now, not first, so to say, fully involved with the word, they're acting as what? Helpers to the king, helpers to the high offices, and they were helping out in these regards, but now we see after the captivity, now a different turn comes in this, where they're actually concerned about the law. Now notice this. Gaining for themselves distinction by their intimate acquaintance with its contents. So what? What does that say? So now first they begin to start gaining distinction. They're sticking out like a sore thumb in a good way. Because they know the Bible like the back of their hand. They seem to be more intimate with the Scripture, so to say. I got a nice little thing for that. I'll read in just a little bit here. But notice it says, on them devolved the duty of multiplying copies of the law and of teaching it to others. It is evident that in New Testament times, the scribe belonged to the sect of the Pharisees who supplemented the ancient written law by their tradition. So now where are the scribes coming out of? They're actually coming out of the Pharisees. And we know the Pharisees were actually called the Zealots. They were a little more zealous about what they believed, thereby obscuring it and rendering it of none effect. Okay? Now, the title scribes and lawyers are in the Gospels interchangeable. They were in the time of our Lord, the public teachers of the people, and frequently came into collision with him. They afterwards showed themselves greatly hostile to the apostles. As time passed on, the words of the scribe were honored above the law. It was a greater crime to offend against them than against the law. The first step was taken towards annulling the commandments of God for the sake of their own traditions. So now we see how men who are intelligent, men who are supposedly more intimate with God than other men, that now we see that they actually began to render to the church their own ideas, their own capabilities, their own thoughts about what the word was and who was the commoner to come against them, because the commoner did not know the Bible like they knew it, did not know the quotes like they knew it, did not have the type of intimate looking relationship with God that they supposedly had. I told you I was fed pretty good. Now, I want to read just a little bit more, and that was Easton's. I want to read a little bit from Smith's Bible Dictionary, and then we'll begin to move on. Because we find now that something is starting to come forth. We understand in Christ's day that there's actually two parties within this type of a system. You had the disciples of Shammai and the disciples of Hillel. The Shammai were basically the zealots, or they're known for their fierceness. Also the Pharisees and the Sadducees really pretty much come out of Hillel. Amen? But yet, moving fastly past that, I'd like us just to read a little bit more about this, because you can actually read into the education of these scribes and these Pharisees, and it actually is quite interesting. I'm going to skip half of it if you want more of the information. If you're not fully torn up by that point in time, we'd be happy to give it to you. But I want to read just a little bit more. It said that pretty much at the age of 13, that if someone was wanting their child to be a scribe, that they'd actually go and pretty much fill out an application for them to become one. And most of the people that were scribes in that day were priests, but yet we understand that more could get in there, but yet most often they would not be able to attain a high position. Now, I want to read this. It says, in Smith's, it says, the position of the more fortunate, talking about scribes, was of course attractive enough. In our Lord's time, the passion for distinction and was insatiable. People wanted to be noticed. They wanted to be the big names. The ascending scale of rabbi, rabbin, presented so many steps on the ladder of ambition. You just couldn't jump to the top. You had to go through a social class and pretty much move up a ladder till you're the big dog. Notice, it says here, Other forms of worldliness were not far off. The salutations in the marketplace, Matthew 23:7, the reverential kiss offered by the scholars to their master or by rabbis to each other, the greeting of Abba, Father, Matthew 23:9, the long robes with a broad blue fringe, Matthew 23:5, all these go to make up the picture of a scribe's life. Drawing to themselves, as they did, nearly all the energy and thought of Judaism. All the energy and thought was coming down to some intellectuals who just seemed to be more intimate with God than everyone else. You know, we're able to memorize things a lot better. We're able to rattle quotes off and so forth a little bit better than everyone else. Let's continue on. Finishing off that, if you'd like to be entertained, it says, the close hereditary caste of the priesthood was powerless to compete with them. Your hereditary lines, they couldn't get you that high. Because now it was coming down to your theological understanding. It was powerless to compete with them. The commoner couldn't hang on their type of level of communication. It's like you watch CNN News or any of these news, and you find that these people that are talking on there, they use such big words. They try to talk in a way that's over everyone else, where only they can really understand all the deep words that they're using. But you can kind of pick up what they're trying to say. They could roll out, you know, perhaps propitiation and manifestation. All these words, just roll them right out in a way that was so fast and so intertwined with each other that you'd almost have to be a theologian to stay on their level. It says, unless the priest became a scribe also, he remained in obscurity. So the priest would be completely unknown, completely away from any attention at all, unless he was a priest scribe. The order as such became contemptible and base. For the scribes, there were the best places at the feast, the chief seats in the synagogues. Okay, are you ready? Is that enough? You want me to say something about that? Do I have to? So now, I will read you one more. Okay? Because notice back in Mark 1:22, it said that Jesus spoke with authority, but it says, not as the scribes. So wait a minute. These people who knew the Bible like the back of their hands could say the deep words like no one else could. Studied the deeper meanings of the law. What tried to make sense of the questions that didn't make sense. Now we see that they, unlike Jesus, were without authority. And it says that before the demons were cast out, it said his teaching had authority and theirs did not. But wait a minute. They were deeper. Their fruits of spirit, like your prophet said, were a million times more than Jesus Christ even seemed to have. All right. And here the people looked at Jesus and they astonished him. Because he could appeal to even the people who aren't theologians. His word could touch all, not just the higher learned. So now, let's read a little bit more into this. We find one more place in John Gill's commentary that adds a lot of light to this. Because remember, Jesus spoke with authority, but they didn't. And here we find in John Gill, it says, and not as the scribes, now commenting on this, it says, who used to say when they delivered anything to the people, are rabbins, or our wise men say. So, such as on the side of Hillel made use of his name, and those who were on the side of Shammai made use of his name. Scarce ever would they venture to say anything of themselves. But said the ancient doctors say thus and thus, almost innumerable instances might be given out of the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, in which one rabbi speaks in the name of another. But our Lord spoke boldly of himself in his own name and did not go about to support his doctrine by the testimony of the elders. But spake as having received power and authority as man from his father and not as the scribes. So now everything's starting to make sense. These theological minded, these Saul, they were not just theologians, they were historians. And what? They spent all their time, what? Memorizing the scripture. Memorizing their sect leaders. So that, basically, to be known as a scribe would say that they would always have to say, well, he said this. They said that. Well, you know what Brother Branham said about that. Well, Brother Branham said this. Brother Branham said that. Brother Branham said that. And yet, they would begin what? To make everything based on a tradition. Following from their fathers. So, what was the difference? Jesus, the Word, was able to venture speaking because He was the Word. Yeah. So that makes you wonder, in this day, do we lean on every tradition as doctrine? Or now have the doctrines of men become traditional and made the Word of God of none effect? When the prophet was here, there was action. There was life. The Word was with effect. But after he left, what? The Word all of a sudden becomes of none effect again. We can get a little anointing here or there. But where's the Word? We say, but in all those big meetings, there's always something happening. Do you realize how much expectation has been placed on the message fathers? Wow. Come on. If you had expectation in the Beatles, we find that healings were taking place in their meetings. Just from expectation. But we're talking about the Word. We're talking about letting Christ live.
Amen.
We want God on the scene.
Amen.
I know I've got band-aids on my own back. But yet, what does it take to allow the Word to come forth? Now we begin to have all these questions come on our mind. Well, what is this message to me then? What is it then? Brother Cam, I see what you're saying, but what are you trying to say? I was told by another brother that it wasn't until the early 80s that message preachers actually began starting to say, Brother Branham said this, and they are starting to place quotes in the main emphasis for their sermons. That's my hearsay. But that brother also told me that he used to see a lot more miracles before that. But they said it was certain theological brothers, namely the one that wrote the Church Age book, that began to start using quotes for everything and making that the theme of his doctrine. And that ushered out, and now to be a message preacher, to be with the In Club, you would actually have to use quotes in order to prove everything you believe. Instead of allowing the Word to be your absolute, now everything had to come back to an elder, so to say.
Come on now. Glory to God. My goodness.
My wife even told me just yesterday, this is before this thing even come over me, she told me when I met you and I moved over here, it was something so strange to me. She said, you guys talked about Bible studies. She said, I never had a Bible study. Not trying to condemn, not trying to tear down, but I want us to understand that where for the term did we get away from the Word being the absolute? Where did we get away from allowing the Word to speak? Because we have one elder. We have one authority. His name is Jesus Christ. Remember, in order to allow the Word to move from the prophet to the prophecy, you would have to let the prophet go and move into the Word itself. Is the message important? Yes. Should we read it? Yes. But it is not the absolute of everything we say or do. Right? We get into a place that we say, I've got to hunt. I've got to fish. I hung out with him. I did this or did that. And I find it so powerful. Because the men who were there, God has used their testimony in a very powerful way. But you see, that is a witness that God was there. Sure, a man was there, but it's a proof that God was there. So now we'd actually have to take that word. Because all that proved was that the doctrine was right. God was there. And then we come back and look at the Bible. That's why I believe the sign can't scare me away. Because my religion is not based on an elder. My religion is based on the inerrant Word of God. Amen. My God wrote that book. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. We sit here and we want to argue and fight about guy at work. Oh, he said, it's not days. It doesn't mean days. I said, well, I'm going to disagree with you. I said, you know why people argue about young earth, old earth? He says, why? I said, because people who believe in an old word, an old earth, actually have to believe in the inerrancy, or that the scripture is not right. Because if it says days and you say it don't mean days, that means that it's not right. Unless you can find the symbol for it, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. But when you go to that length, say it's billions of years old, you're actually doubting the word which you say is right. So how can you have faith in a word that has took on a dogma? He said, I know God's powerful, but I don't think he could do that. I said, he's God. What can he do? He said, yeah, I know. Well, yeah. My God could have done everything in 1 minute. But he had to do 7 days because it was a type. Every type would match 7 days Sabbath rest. Because there'd come a time where the word would be revealed and you'd be able to look at that and say, on the seventh day, God rested. I'm in the seventh day. I'm going to rest. Amen. So now, as we continue on, oh Lord Jesus, where'd my time go? Oh, it's his time, that's right. But we find now that this is what has evolved. I've even found myself saying to a brother, I said, well, just tell him so-and-so said it. A high-ranking preacher. Because, you know what? They'll probably believe them. And it's true. Well, brother so-and-so said that. He believes it that way. He believes we have grace. He believes that that's right and that's wrong. And we look and say, yep, that must be right. Why? Because we have completely moved back into this type of system. But it did not take 330 years. All it took was a word being sown. An open book. And with an open book, people could take a teaching any way they want and go as deep as they wanted with it. But where are we at? Why is this important? Because we have to get the word with authority. He has to come back on the scene again.
Amen.
He should have never left the scene. Shame on us. He should never have left. Your expectation should never leave. Whether I believe it or not, you sitting there, you should be able to say, if there's a demon in this room, my sanctified life, my Holy Ghost life, that devil cannot feel comfortable here. It's your Holy Ghost that's to make the demons flee. If they trembled at the word there, what should they do with the full word here? Not just in a prophet with a Messiah sign. Everybody says, you see, the Messiah sign's over. Oh, no, it's not. The Messiah sign is going to take body form.
Amen.
Yes,
Amen.
Not just my body, your body.
Amen.
Amen. Not just this church, but the collective bride of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But who's willing to say these things?
Amen. Good.
I haven't expounded on this. You say, well, I know what you're talking about. Well, who told you what I was talking about? You say, Brother Cam, you did. You said stuff back in those sermons and that and that. Okay, whoa. Who said that? Come on, you were going to get a dose of Thyatira tonight. And God come by my door and says, boom. Then I start reading and say, whoa. But you see what the problem is? We can't see God. Why is God saying this? Oh, he's trying to separate. It's not God. It's Brother Cam. He's trying to separate. He's trying to do this. Don't you get what the Holy Ghost is trying to do? He has to get the word to live somewhere. Well, you must think you're something special. Well, you must think you're something special. I am something special. You are something special. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. You are to manifest this book. You are to what? Portray Jesus Christ to the world the last time. How? How? How are you to portray this? Well, you know, Brother Branham said this. Wait a minute. Jesus did not appeal to the people like the scribes did. You tell me. When you notice that? We can let it live in our church. Let it live in our social church. But yet when we get out in public, you don't go up to everybody and say, well, Brother Branham says so. Brother Branham says so. Why don't you do that? People like to use this excuse, say, well, you can't cast your jewels in front of the pigs. My jewels isn't that Brother Branham said it. My jewel is that is the word. The word is what makes that live. So where'd it come from? Tell me, where'd two souls come from? When the word. Tell me, where'd return ministry come from? Not the word. Tell me, where did dead church come from? Not the word. Tell me, where's the revival coming from? The word. It's the only way a body change. The word. A Laodicean church age. The word. I just don't know if that's God. I just don't know. Where is God? We got brother five states over. You hear about that healing? Really? Somebody got in the pool of Bethesda. But where's the word? This message is not the pool of Bethesda. Because remember, Christ come to the man who couldn't get in. The pool of Bethesda, the little anointings, were for the people who Christ didn't come to.
Oh my.
Come on, brother. Good. Good.
I know that's fresh.
Come on, brother. Good.
But what? Christ come to his eyes and he said, someone help me in the water. He wanted to get with the anointing.
Yeah.
But the word was right there. And the word reveal himself to him and heal him. Why does God bring these messages on Wednesday nights? Why? I don't get it. You want me to tell you something? It is 10 times harder for me to find a sermon for Sunday than it is Wednesday. You want the answer? I don't know. That's just the way it is.
Amen.
I've been telling these brothers, they told us, I said, why in the world? We can't get no anointing. We can't get, it's even hard. You know how hard it was for me to preach on Sunday?
Come on,
I'm still recovering. On Wednesday night, I preach all night. I wake right up in the morning, I'm ready to go. What are you trying to say, brother? These poor brothers that come, poor brothers and sisters that only come on Sundays, they probably say, brother can't, man, he's not a very good preacher. It's hard to preach on Sundays. I don't know if you people just need to wake up or what's going on. If it's just me, I don't know. Explain it? Oh, I don't know. But what I do know is that the same Jesus who comes here on Sunday, Wednesday, should be the same Jesus here on Sunday. We shouldn't say, Wednesday was a good service. Last Wednesday was a good service. What about Sunday? Well, brother so-and-so didn't preach as our pastor. What? There's a problem there. There's something we got to do. We got to break some demons. Well, you see, the people that really want to be there are there on Wednesdays. That don't mean anything. The people that want to be there are still there on Sundays. The word is there to change people. The same people changed on Wednesdays are there Sundays. What's going on? See, the devil's got us duped. He's got something going on. I don't fully understand it, but when I catch it, I'm coming. Because I've seen this for a long time. I'll be honest with you. I told people many times that I'd rather, much rather preach on Wednesday than Sunday. I'm about ready to give up my Sunday services. I don't care if there's more people there. There's such a freedom when I'm here on Wednesday nights. Amen. Tell me why that is. Come on. You tell me. Don't you see? We can sit here and we can preach about scribes. We can preach all this hard stuff. But if we're not willing to accept it, right. If we're not willing to apply it, right. If we're not willing to step up to the plate and say, what's different? It's got to go. See? How can you move on? Pastor rebuked us for not coming on Wednesdays. No, I want everybody to be in the rapture. Amen. I really do. Amen. Your prophet said if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't wait for the doors to get open. Amen. So if the Holy Ghost is starting to get a little dry on you, let's get back up. Amen. Everybody! You see what I'm talking about? I know. I'm actually admitting something here. And I'm actually telling you that there's still a demon that's working here and I have not picked him out yet. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to catch him. Amen. I'm going to kill him. Amen. If you'd like to help me, I'd enjoy the help. Because it's a lot easier to take a whole gang to beat up son than to go all by myself. But what do we need? Where's the problem?
Come on now.
I know. When Jesus come, he had a relationship with God that was based on authority. And not on tradition. When he come forth, he talked like the Word. He acted like the Word. Remember what that Gill quotation said. The scribes would not venture to say anything of their own accord. Wait a minute. Even the Corinthian church would do that. And they were the backslid ones. Everyone had a revelation. God has always shown them something. The scripture doesn't say that the revelations were wrong. They were just out of place because they were gloating in them.
Yeah.
The sermon I preached last Wednesday. Yep. That wasn't in the message. I derived it by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This sermon tonight, no quotes. I got a few on authority. But you know what? It's really late and I'm not going to get to them. So you know what? God gave me this.
Amen.
God gave me the scriptures for this. God gave me quotations for this.
Amen.
But wait, it's the elders. No, I didn't say so-and-so said.
Right.
I said this is what they are. This is what they were.
Amen.
Come
on,
brother.
I'm not comparing an opinion because we know what the scribes were.
Right.
I'm showing you what the scribes are. You went with the Easton's Dictionary. Yeah, it defines what something is. It's a dictionary.
Amen.
Do we want to play this game all night? I'm just trying to show you the difference. What am I saying? God, I want to transform my mind from being traditional.
Amen.
But you won't fit in. I never fit in anyway.
Amen.
Why couldn't I fit in? Why can't I? You're not smart enough. You're not this enough. That's the devil. How many of the scribes do we see coming to virgin status? Nicodemus. The priest. High-ranking priest. High-ranking priest had to be scribes. What? He didn't accept the message. He was a closet Christian. Foolish virgin. Gamaliel. High-ranking Jew. Pharisee, scribe.
Right.
Stood up for the Jew. Stood up for the Christians. But would not come out of the closet.
Right.
Foolish virgin.
Right.
The commoners. The ignorant. The unlearned. The Word. They perceived that they were ignorant, unlearned, but they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
Wait a minute! They'd been with Jesus? What was the difference? I'm glad you asked! Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, one more time. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, let's continue, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled.
Amen.
They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So what was it?
Amen.
They carried an authority. They carried the Holy Ghost. Because He is the only authority. Wait a minute. You say, well, the prophet said, we don't have power. We have authority. Do you want me to read a quote? Your prophet said the only one that had the authority was the Holy Ghost. So wait a minute. How's that work? Well, the only way you have authority is if you have the Holy Ghost inside of you.
Amen.
One more circular hop. Which is a proof that there's boldness there.
Amen. Amen. Lord. Praise God.
So what? I ain't calling people devils. But what I'm saying is, there's a higher calling. There's a reason why God has not led you the pathway that you might feel like you should be on.
That's right. Come on, brother.
Pharisees and Sadducees never said, come on, Jesus, come in that 12-man gang. No, they left them right out there. A bunch of ignorant, unlearned people.
Come on, brother.
Just left them there.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, they had quite the revival there.
Come on. Right.
I ain't never seen a revival of the message like that. Yeah, I've heard that.
Come on, brother.
But they don't want nothing to do with you. Don't want to preach for you. Don't want to fellowship with you. Don't want nothing to do with you. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. You don't want me to identify you. This stuff ain't my notes. This is just coming. Brother Cam's too ungodly to get something from God. This bad boy's pretty bad. But God put a gift in there.
Amen.
And a seed. And don't worry, this flesh will be changed. You ready for the game plan? Well, how are you any better? You're not. Just a big gang of ignorant and unlearned people who want to be with God. So wait a minute. They had boldness. Boldness. So, wait a minute. So they actually had some authority. When they got low on authority, the scripture says in Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God. Back to boldness. So the word is never supposed to speak without authority. Now, I can give excuses for those who've passed on because the full word wasn't there. The revelation had not struck the children yet. But now, the revelation is unfolding to the children. This is who we are.
Amen.
This is what we are.
Amen. Yes. Come on, brother.
Hallelujah. Yes, I want that kind of boldness. I say, you know what? God told me not to go to work today. Sorry.
Amen.
I got souls to win.
Amen.
That type of boldness where someone says something and says this and that, and the Holy Ghost says, boom. It ain't mad. It comes out just the way the Holy Ghost wants it to come out. It ain't looking for a fight. It ain't looking for trouble. It's just the word. You talk about power. I gotta lose my mind. Everything that Moses learned in Egypt for 40 years, it took 40 years in the wilderness to take it all out of him.
Amen.
How do you think that you can get all of God in you without losing everything? You have to lose your mind to Christ. He has to fill all. Now, I want you to see a few things. I'm going to retract, and I'm going to close. Very quickly, I'll just give you a couple more scriptures. I want you to see the scribes and a little bit more of their action. In Mark 11:17, It says, and he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Notice 18 verse. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him. Why? Why did they fear him?
Amen.
Because all the people was astonished at his doctrine.
Amen.
Wait! What was his doctrine? We just read it. It is written. My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer.
Amen.
So all he's doing is repeating the word.
Right.
And they feared him because he wasn't looking towards a forefather. Wasn't looking to this individual or that individual. But his doctrine went back to the word.
Amen.
Sounds like a pretty good reason to get killed now, doesn't it? The people were astonished at a doctrine that come from the Word of God. They were used to preachers who'd only preach using quotes, only preach using their own thoughts, own objectives, own mindset. When it was God's design that His Holy Ghost would be the mindset. But the people had mistaken humanity for the Holy Ghost. They had not seen God. They said, well, he knows that's God. Instead of looking in the Word. Finding their reason in the Word. Now, I want you to see just a little bit more. I want you to see the kind of hole that the scribes had amongst the people. Matthew 17:10, this is a transfiguration. I've never seen this before until I preach this. Just, there's so many different ways that you can see things. Matthew 17:10, it says here, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must come first? So now, what? Even the disciples, ignorant and unlearned, even at that time, their question to Jesus is, well, remember, the scribes were the ones that were unraveling the deep things. We'll say, don't you know Elias is going to come?
Amen.
Sounds like they don't have the right interpretation. He says, but I say unto you that Elias has come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Tell me. So they had such a hold that they had the people taking their intellectual conception. Now remember, they just had Jesus glorified to them. They just had the full word, the plan revealed to them. And they're still looking back at the Elias restoration. They were supposed to what? Progress in the revelation. When they seen Christ, they lifted up Moses and Elijah with him. Let's build three. They missed the whole point. Then they say, well, the theologians say this. Elias should come first. Well, wait a minute. The word was with them. And Elias had already come. But they're still focused on Elias.
Right.
Ooh, that's deep.
Come on, brother.
Don't you see it.
My goodness.
Oh, the focus is on Brother Branham said this. Brother Branham said that.
Right.
Instead of the focus being on the transfiguration.
Amen.
Well, don't you understand? Jesus, then the two prophets. Rapture, then two prophets. The focus is supposed to be on making a tabernacle for Christ.
Amen.
Instead of focusing on the prophet.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That was inspiration.
Amen.
Notice Jesus even gets into the mix in Mark 12:35. It says, and Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? He says to them, well, the scribes are saying, I'm the son of David. I'm just the son of David. Why? Because they're basing all their judgments on the scribes. But notice what the word does. It brings clarity to what has bound the people by their interpretations.
Right.
Says, for David himself said, oh, it just sounds like we're going back to Sunday. Said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Amen.
David therefore himself called him Lord. And whence is he then his son? You have the word right before you. You can't say that a son's blaspheming. It's the word himself.
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Let's bring a little clarity to this.
Lord.
And the common people heard him gladly.
Amen.
The scribes heard him gladly. The religious heard him gladly. The people who had all their quotes memorized heard him gladly.
No. Thank you, Lord.
It's just a move for common people. Unless they were willing to become common themselves. Will you serve him? Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I know it's late. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to stop right there. Let's stand. I'd like to tell you, there's a reason why we need to be here. Every one of us. You see what God is trying to reveal to you? Everyone's evil. No, no. Get the Holy Ghost, please. The Holy Ghost is trying to reveal there's something special about you. Yes, there is. When I can memorize the scripture, when I can memorize my quotes, when I can say the lingo just like they say the lingo, when I can fit in. No, no. Do I divide? No, I'm not saying that. But when you're compelled to try to become something instead of allowing the word to make you what he wants you to be. I don't have any voice left. That's all I got. Remember the title of this sermon. Astonishing Word Authority. What will make you something? The only thing you understand what I'm telling you? Because what are you wanting to be? I hope there's no one here that when I said that, he said, boy, I want to be something. How can I be Christ? The anointed. To make him known. So that I'm something. No, no, no. I want souls to be saved. I want my family in this rapture. God knows my heart. They have destroyed me. I don't care. I want them in the rapture. They have fought you. I don't care. I want them in the rapture. They've tried to hold you back. I don't care. I want them in the rapture. What do they need? They need the astonishing word. They need the authority of the word that speaks for himself. They might worship you as God, but you'll have the Holy Ghost there so well that you'll say, stand up, I'm a man just like you.
Mm.
This is the type of God I want to serve.
Amen.
This is the type of God I want to live. It's the only God that can live. Who are you going to be? What are you going to do for God? Don't you realize that Christ wants to speak out of every single one of you? Little, tall, speak through you. What do I got to do? Get rid of those traits. Get rid of, oh, he just told me I can't study, I can't pray. I said that 50,000 times. I'm not saying that. Because it doesn't matter. You are not made to operate on a theological level anyway. You have proved that. Don't you understand why God made you that way? Because you're not supposed to be living on your own mind.
Amen.
You're to be living on his mind.
Amen.
God, take my mind.
Amen.
You love God?
Amen.
Yeah. How many are saying, God, this was such a long service? Wait, why not? I preached longer tonight than what I did on Sunday morning. And you had a whole night's rest. What's the difference? Like I said, let's figure it out. How come I can have stuff just rolling out of me tonight? And Sunday I'm fighting for everything. You didn't see it, but I was. Why? Let's figure it out. How am I going to figure it out? We need a more authoritative word. In us. I can't figure it out. I've tried for 2 years now. But God can. I need more God. You need more God. Because I might not see it. You might. We got to find it. We got to go to the root. Kill the thing off. So we can get this rapture. And what's it going to take? Government shut down. You're a little late. It's going to take all your benefits cut off. Every one of us. We're right here. Oh, God. And all I got to do is believe that. All I got to do is lose those traits. Scripture says the righteous in Proverbs are bold as a lion.
Amen.
Just like Ephesus.
Amen. Right. Yes, Father.
I'm trying to stop it. I'm trying. Didn't seem too long, did it? Sunday morning should be that way.
Amen.
You love God?
Amen.
What are you going to do with this Jesus? Was it Jesus that spoke to you? If it was, what are you going to do with him? I'm going to come back next Wednesday expecting. No, I'm going to apply that word right now. We all have these tendencies. I have these traits that I just preached on. You don't think deep down, I say, God, I wish I was accepted by everybody. Everybody wants to be accepted. Did Jesus care if he was accepted? He was the Word. That's what I want to be. I don't care if I'm accepted. I love everybody. But I want the Word to project. You love God? I love when God comes and preaches. How am I going to be able to say with an upraised hand, God, I want to leave all my worldly traits behind, my religious traits behind. And God, I want the Word to be my authority. Hallelujah. There you are, accepting that Word. Will you pray with me now to Him? Let's bow our heads and pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, how we love you, God. We love your Word. You're so awesome, God. And God, I could have never figured that out. But God, you're trying to take us somewhere. And it's becoming clearer and clearer the more weeks that we're here, Lord. God, let us feast on this Word, God. Let us become this Word. God, forgive me for holding on to any of those traits, God. Forgive me, God. I want to release them to you now, Lord. Take them. Let them be what they are, but let me have the Word inside of me. God, I just pray now, Lord, that God, you'd work in the life of every single one of us here, Lord. Not to fight the Word, not to hold back on it, Lord. But God, let the Word have its rule. You preached, God, you take my life. God, have that own way. Lord Jesus, I just ask now, Lord, that you'd let this church, Lord, let this Word strike us, God. Take this life. Form it. Take this mind. Transform it, Lord. Take this will. Conform it to yours. God, forgive us. Transform us, God. I accept this Word, Lord. I know you brought it to me, God. And I say that this is not just something I preach. This is something I need. God, change me. Lord, I want this church to show you. Not that we're some big church in the area. Not that people come far and wide to see. But God, I want people to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Becoming the bride of Jesus Christ. That's the only way I'd ever want this church to be big, is if there was bride filling this church. Help us, God, our motives, objectives, to fall in line with your Word. We just ask now that you'd have your way. Give us a heart to move out of the way, to let you become God. I pray you'd forgive us now. Fill us in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. The bride says, amen. Brother Dave, come on up and sing, brother. I got nothing left. If you need more God, you can get Him at your seat. You can get Him here if you prayed. Receive it by faith. Say, this is the God I just yielded to. God, it's yours. Take it. You walk out the door, God, it's yours. Take it. You go home, God, it's yours. Take it. You wake up, God, it's yours. Take it. Stay in line with the Word. We'll be happy to pray with you if you want to pray.
And all will see how great, how great. Our God.
Yeah.
song, "Oh Lord, please use me and don't refuse me." Amen. How many's desire is that? Not to be anything of themselves, but just to be whatever God would have for them. Amen. Oh Lord, please use me and don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And though it may be ever so humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. And though the cost be great, I'll work for thee. You're the lily of my valley. You're the lily of my valley. You're my bright and morning star. Lord, you're fairer than 10,000 to my soul. You're the beautiful rose of Sharon. You're my all in all. But most of all, you're my soon and coming King. One more time, oh Lord, please use me. Oh Lord, please use me and don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. To crumble, though be great, I work for thee. You're the lily of my valley, Lord. You're the lily of my valley. You're my bright and morning star. Lord, you're fair. 10,000 to my soul. You're the beautiful rose of Sharon. You're my all in all. And most of all, you're my soon and coming King. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Thanks.
Amen.
Amen. Just sing that song, "I Feel Like Going On."
And I feel like going on. Yes, I feel like going on. Trials come on every hand. I feel like going on. Yes, I feel like going on.
No matter how hard, Lord.
Yes, I feel like going on.
Going on. Say, I feel like praying up.
I feel. come.